for a little something extra from the Appleseed. And now, here's your host, Sam Payne.
One of the things we love to do is just to invite friends into the studio and listen to stories with us. I've got in the studio with me here Jeff Simpson, who, of course, is the producer of our show. Jeff, it's great to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And, of course, we also have with us Jacob Gowans, all the way from Nebraska. He's in Nebraska. Jacob, it's great to have you with us as well.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're speaking with us from Omaha, but you're from Papillion, Nebraska, right?
Yeah, it's French for it's the French word is papillon, and it means butterfly. We have a lot of butterflies here, monarch butterflies mostly, but that's where we get our name from.
We'll tell you just a little bit about Jacob. He's a dentist.
Yes.
But graduated from college here at Brigham Young University with a Bachelor of Arts in Theater Studies, right?
That's right, yeah.
And, of course, that has made itself, that interest in theater has made itself manifest in all kinds of interesting ways in your life.
It really has, yeah. I wrote some novels and I've done some acting. Really, really love theater and performance and art.
Well, Jacob, we picked what we think may be the perfect story for you today because we know that you're also a baseball fan.
Yes, I am.
So you're not going to believe this. This may be the only story in our library that so prominently combines both baseball and musical theater.
All right.
This is the great Chicago storyteller Sid Lieberman. No longer with us, but Sid left a legacy of great stories. And this is a story called Some Enchanted Wednesday. We're going to listen to it together now.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I have to tell this story. It's very appropriate, which you will understand about halfway through. It's called Some Enchanted Wednesday. When I was little, I loved movie musicals. It was the 1950s, the golden age of movie musicals. Guys and Dolls, Pajama Game, West Side Story, Singing in the Rain. That list can just go on and on. Now, some of you might think it odd that a little boy liked movie musicals, but I had my reasons. First of all, movie musicals are all about love, and I was in love with love. When I was in kindergarten, I was so in love with my kindergarten teacher that one day when the class was completely out of control, it was her first year, I sat there with my hands on my desk, hoping she would notice. And she did. And that afternoon, I got to draw while the other kids had to do their work. In second grade, I got over that crush, mainly because she got married that summer. And I had a more appropriate girlfriend, Elise Auslander. She lived about a block away from me. And I used to sneak out of the house at night after dinner and go stand under her windows. She lived on the third floor of an apartment building, and I would just stare up. I didn't even have to see her. I was like a little 7-year-old Romeo. One night in the winter, I snuck out, and I was holding onto one of those lampposts. It's the old-fashioned kind with just a little cone of light. And it began snowing, and I was so overwhelmed by the emotion of the moment I began to sing Silent Night. And movie musicals are all about happy endings, and happy endings were hard to come by when I was a little kid. When I was in second grade that same year, I was in love with Elise. One day in spring, my buddy and I, Tony Mortallaro, burst out of school. We used to run home for lunch. It was one of those spring days where everything is blossoming. You could smell the end of school. We must have seen the tree before. It had to have been there, but it was like we just noticed it. We leaped up and started to climb up the branches, and then we swung out and hit the pavement and ran home. When we got back to school, our names were on the blackboard. Well, I liked happy endings. I thought I was getting something. I didn't know what I had done, but I was sure there was going to be some prize. The teacher walked in, and without a moment's hesitation, she said, "You two, down to Miss Corella. You've been seen climbing the school's tree." It was like being struck by lightning. Not only wasn't I getting a prize, I had to go see the school disciplinarian, Miss Carilla. The older kids called her Carilla the Gorilla. But she wasn't a gorilla. She was a snake. I came into her room on that beautiful day. It was completely black. She had pulled the shades out, and not only that, she had a black curtain which she pulled across them. She was dressed all in black. And she was thin, a thin body, thin face, thin nose, thin lips, thin eyes. And when I walked in, all she did was go. I walked up to her desk. I was terrified. I was 7 years old. And she didn't say a word. She just stared at me. I wanted to run, but my feet were, they were rooted to the ground. I didn't know what to do. It was like being in front of a silent Spanish Inquisition. She just stared until finally I could stand it no longer and I began to cry. I promised I would never do it again. I confess my sins. And when I left, she said, "Make sure you keep your promise." But that was nothing compared to what happened to me in third grade. I'm colorblind. I didn't know that when I was in third grade. I thought all the kids read the names of the crayons off the crayon to tell what they were. Maroon, peacock blue, brown. We were coloring pie plates for our mother's open house. Our teacher was going to post them. And I was coloring away with all my little 8-year-old heart and soul. I was the first one done, and I was so excited by my pie plate that I ran to where my teacher was working at her desk. She must have been 105. She was writing away, and I shoved it under her nose, and I said, Miss Riglander, look at my pie plate, look at my pie plate. And she said loud enough for every kid in that class to hear, "This is the ugliest pie plate I've ever seen, and I won't hang it up." Do you believe that she did that to an 8-year-old? It was like taking a knife to me. The scene ended in my mind. I ran back to my desk and I sat on it because all the kids wanted to see it. And I remember sitting there crying with the whole class around me. It is any wonder then that I loved movie musicals? They're full of happy endings. Endings filled with love, astonishing endings where love occurs between a professor and a flower girl, a gambler and a Salvation Army worker, a rich planter and a nurse, a baron and a governess. The bad guys lose, the good guys win, and it's all so astonishing you just have to sing about it. Oklahoma, where the wind comes blowing off the plains, and the waving wheat, it sure smells sweet when the wind follows right behind the rain. I know a dark, secluded place, a place where no one knows your face. A glass of wine, a fast embrace, it's called Hernando's Hideaway. Hello, young lovers, wherever you are. I hope your troubles are few. Cling very close to each other tonight. I've had a love like you. We got sunlight on the sands. We've got moonlight on the seas. We've got mangoes and bananas you can pick right off the trees. We have volleyball and ping pong and a lot of other games. What ain't we got? We ain't got
games.
Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck, if you've never been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady tonight. I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I walk down the lane to a simple refrain. I'm singing, just singing in the rain. Well, when I was 11, I had gotten over crushes on teachers. I had gotten over my second grade romance. I had a new love. Baseball. And for some reason, when I was 11, I wanted to get autographs. Until that time, baseball cards were good enough for me and my buddies. I don't know if you remember them, Topps baseball cards. They cost a nickel. You get, I don't know, 5 or 10 cards and a little piece of rectangle gum with powder over it. You'd go to the drugstore, plop down a quarter, get 5 packs, put that gum in your mouth, chomp away, and get those cards and go to your buddy's house to wheel and deal trying to get lucky. For me, getting lucky was getting pictures of the Cubs. They were my team. I identified with them. For Cubs fans, there's no happy endings. The last World Series they won was 1908. The last World Series they were in was 1945. In the whole decade of the 50s, the decade when I was growing up, they never finished higher than 5th in an 8-team league. They were never in the first division. And I don't have to say much about last year, just Steve Bartman. Players coming to the Cubs must have thought they'd been going to Dante's Inferno. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here. Bob Rush, Paul Minner, Roy Smalley, Eddie Mixis, Dee Fondy. The losing list of Cubs players just goes on and on and on. Hank Sauer, Ralph Kiner, Harry Cheedy. Harry Cheedy was a catcher. I was at a game once. It was the 9th inning. The Cubs were winning 2-1. There's 2 out. A Cardinal was on first base, and there's a pop foul, and Cheedy gets under it. He whips off the mask. The game should be over. He pounds his mitt, and not only did he miss it, it hit him right in the head. On the next pitch, the guy homered and the Cubs lost. The problem was that I couldn't get any Cubs autographs. What you did was you'd go down to their locker room and wait for them to come out after the game, and you'd wave a scorecard at them, and they would sign it. But there were always so many people that they never even saw me. I never even got close. It was August, and I thought, okay, if I can't get the Cubs, I'll get their opponents. Well, Milwaukee was in town. The Braves, they were really good that year. They had Hank Aaron and Eddie Matthews. They were in second place at the time. And I went to the game not only with hope, I went with a plan. I left the game early in the 7th inning. I stood by their bus, and I waited for them to come out. I was right there against the bus. I thought, I'll get them as they come by, and then I'll get the guy over me. Now, when the game ended, a huge crowd came. I couldn't believe how many people wanted Braves autographs. But I was in the catbird seat. And then the Braves came out. They had lost. They weren't in the mood to sign autographs. And they started to go right through the crowd. And as they cut through the crowd turned and headed toward the bus and me. It was like a human wave. And it hit me like a wave. They crushed me against the bus as they were pushing their scorecards up to the bus windows. It was scary, really. It was hard to breathe. And then after a while, everybody left. And I was standing there staring at that empty scorecard. And I heard a voice above me. And I looked up, and there was this black ball player, and he said, hey, kid, you've been standing here the whole time? And I said, yeah. He said, give me that scorecard. And I handed him the scorecard, and I watched him sign it, and then I heard him shout, hey, guys, sign this, will you? And he passed it around on the inside of the bus. He said to me, hey, kid, this might take a few minutes. It could have taken a few years. I was going to get all their autographs. And as I stood there smiling up at him, I realized that for the first time in my life, I was starring in my own movie musical. Some enchanted Wednesday, you might meet a stranger. You might meet a stranger upon a crowded bus. And no, even then, he's a man among men. As he takes the scorecard from your trembling hand, Hank Aaron, Eddie Matthews, Bulin, Spahn, and Adcock, Rice, and Crow, and Crandall scrolled across that crowded card. And you knew for a fact, when he gave the card back, that you would never forget this man. George Crow. First baseman for the Milwaukee Braves. He played for 7 years in the majors for 4 different teams. His lifetime batting average was .270, but 1 year he hit .301 and was put on the National League All-Star team.
he never got into the game. He wasn't really an all-star. He was a good journeyman ball player. But on that hot day in August, he was the greatest ball player that ever lived. Hank Aaron, Eddie Matthews, Bulin, Sponin, Adcock, Rice, and Crow, and Crandall scrolled across that crowded card. And you knew for a fact, when he gave the card back, that you would never forget this man.
Sid Lieberman with the story Some Enchanted Wednesday. In some ways, kind of a historical piece, right? A piece written before, well, before the Cubs became World Series winners, right? So it's a little bit of a piece of history just hearing the story itself. And of course, I'm here with Jeff Simpson, the producer of The Appleseed, and joining us on the phone from Nebraska is Jacob Gowans. Jacob, thanks for listening to that story with us.
Thanks for sharing it. That was wonderful.
Do you have a favorite baseball memory?
Oh, yeah. My favorite baseball memory is the time that I got to go to see the Yankees play in Yankee Stadium. Mm. I wish I could say that the Yankees won. I wish I could say that it hadn't been raining. But it was still a great experience to be able to go there and see them play. And so, that was by far my best memory.
Boy, you know, I think about my own baseball memories. I never went to a major league ball game until my grandfather took me to an A's game. He was a San Francisco Giants fan, but he took me to an A's game when I was a kid. And it seems like after that, we would make a point, gosh, even years later, of trying to catch a game in the Bay Area when I went to see him. And some of those baseball memories are some of my favorite memories with my granddad. Jeff, how about you? What's your favorite baseball memory?
Oh, it's difficult to choose because I grew up in a very baseball family. My dad's living room or family room is just every square inch of that room is covered in baseball paraphernalia, mostly Dodgers. He even has a couple of the old Dodger Stadium seats.
Oh, wow.
And I could talk about the time that he got a baseball by reaching behind somebody's back and grabbing the ball that was a foul ball.
Wow.
But probably going to a playoff game at Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers have not won a World Series since 1988, and they've been to the World Series 2 years in a row and have not been able to come out with the win. But I remember because they were playing the Cardinals, and I just can't stand the Cardinals because the Cardinals always find a way to beat the Dodgers, and in this series it was no exception. However, I got to go to the one game in the series that they actually won. And I can just remember how loud the crowd was when Matt Kemp hit that home run over the wall that really sealed the deal for the Dodgers that game. However, the evening ended on a sad note because we were sitting close by a couple of Cardinals fans. And normally, you know, you'd be among everybody else kind of giving them a hard time. But it was these parents and these two young children. And as they were just trying to make their way outside of the baseball stadium, people were relentless. Mm. And I was kind of afraid for them. I was worried something was going to happen to them. And that's not what makes baseball great is these arguments that we get in over whose jersey we root for, right? Because the players are constantly changing. It's really about just coming together and enjoying one of the greatest games ever.
Oh yeah, yeah. Piece of America for sure. And I'll tell you, you listen to that story by Sid Lieberman and you're not only having a lot of baseball memories, but I'm having all kinds of like high school theater memories. Jacob, you have a, as we said, a background in theater. What's your favorite theater memory?
Well, I would have to say my is probably the first time I ever saw a musical in person. It made me want to be an actor. I was in fifth or sixth grade. And my sister was in high school at the time, and so she got tickets for the family to go see The Music Man at Papillion La Vista High School. And so I went there, and I just remember watching these high schoolers on stage performing The Music Man and just being entranced by the whole experience and thinking, I want to do that someday. I want to be performing on stage. And just being swept away by the whole story and just the performance and the songs.
Well, I'll tell you, it's so fun to listen to stories together with you guys. Jacob Gowans, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been a great time.
Jacob, joining us from Omaha, Nebraska, and of course in the studio with me as well is Jeff Simpson, our producer. We're going to tell you that Jacob Gowans is author of works like Psion Beta and A Tale of Light and Shadow. And good heavens, if you're ever in Omaha, Nebraska, and you need your teeth fixed, he's the guy, right, Jacob?
That sounds great.
Thanks for joining us for a little something extra from the Appleseed. Google The Appleseed Podcast and subscribe for something new just about every day. The Appleseed with Sam Payne.